Well, we're into a new year, and as such, we're going to begin a new sermon series, and the sermon series is called Mountains in Matthew. Have you ever been to a mountain? I'm not talking about Charles Mound, which is the highest point in Illinois at 1,235 feet above sea level. Maybe you've been there thinking, wow, now that's a mountain. No, I'm talking about any of the 67 peaks in the United States that are 14,000 feet above sea level or greater. You know, things like the Rocky Mountains or the Appalachians or the Adirondacks or the Sierra Nevadas or any of the other mountain ranges that are around, the Great Smokies and the Blue Ridge Mountains, all of those. If you have ever been to Pikes Peak, me, anybody else been to Pikes Peak? 14,115 feet above sea level. I have to tell you a little story. My sister Mary, who passed away when she was 23 at a car accident, when she was about 9 years old, maybe 8 years old, we went on a trip to see some relatives in Colorado Springs, Colorado. As part of that trip, we decided to go up Pikes Peak. We were driving a Volkswagen van. Volkswagen vans, if you know anything about Volkswagen vans, are powered by a sewing machine engine. Top speed, if you're going downhill with the wind behind you, is maybe 60 miles an hour. We had our seven people in the family, plus we had my aunt and we had her two kids, and then we had some others. We had about 11 people in that van. Yeah, not everybody had a seatbelt. And we're chugging up Pikes Peak. And it is warm at the bottom. I mean, the temperature, air temperature is warm. But as we are going up Pikes Peak, the air starts to get a little cooler and the weather changes. And we saw big Cadillacs and great big huge Ford LTDs parked alongside the road with steam coming out of their engines, radiators. But our Volkswagen van just kept chugging along. About halfway up the mountain, it started to rain. And everybody was a little quiet because you don't know if the road is going to be slippery. And sometimes you looked like you were, you know, pretty close to the edge. And my sister Mary, at age probably 8 or 9, she said, "Oh, I am so glad for the rain. I'll bet the tires are happy." Everybody had to pause and think about the tires of the car for a minute. We made it up and we made it down, and not in record-breaking time by any means, but it was an amazing thing. And of course, when you get up into those elevations, you have this thing called altitude sickness. And if you're not careful, it can be deadly. But mountains are amazing. I mean, if you've ever driven through the mountains, you just stand in awe. They are just so huge. Some of them have snow on top of them all the time. The snow never melts. It's just incredible. And mountains do have something to do with our spiritual life. In the ancient world, mountains were often seen as that thin place where heaven meets earth, where God meets humans. Even in mythology, Greek and Roman mythology, where did the gods live? Well, they lived on Mount. Anybody know? Olympus. That's where they lived. Why in the world would you need to live on a mountain? Because that was supposed to be that place where you felt closest to the gods. Of course, in mythology, when the gods were on the mountains, that was because they wanted to rule over man. They wanted to dominate human. But in the Bible, mountaintops were not only places where people felt closest to God. Some very significant things happened on mountains, especially in the Old Testament. Mount Ararat was where Noah's ark rested. And God started over with eight people. Abraham was asked to sacrifice Isaac on Mount Moriah, and God saved Isaac and provided an appropriate sacrifice, a ram that was caught in the thicket. Moses then received the Ten Commandments on what was known and is still known as Mount Sinai. It doesn't look like much of a mountain, but that's a picture of the northern peak of Mount Sinai. On Mount Nebo, God allowed Moses to see the promised land, even though God said, "You will not enter it." Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, which also is in that region of the world. Solomon built the temple of God in Jerusalem on what is called Mount Zion, the highest point in Jerusalem. Mountains are everywhere in the Old Testament. That's where God demonstrated his power. That's where he protected his people. That's where he showed his majesty and reminded human beings that, like the mountains, he is foundational, he is stable, he is formidable, he is permanent. So when the Bible's speaking of mountains, they're talking about something special. Now, just so that you get a little bit of a sense of what we're talking about here, the mountains of the Bible and the mountains that they would have known were not like Mount Everest. Mount Everest is 29,032 feet above sea level. It's the highest point in the world. Oh, by the way, did you know that it's still growing? Yeah, last year it grew 2 millimeters. I don't know how they know that, but it's still growing. So maybe in about, 10,000 years, it'll be another foot taller. I don't know. But none of the biblical mountains, none of the mountains in that region even reach half of that size. The point is not about the height of the mountains. The point is that many holy events happened on high places. Jesus gave his most beloved teaching on a mountain. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus prayed on mountains. He was crucified on a mountain. And in the end, in Revelation chapter 21, verses 10 and 11, the Apostle John, who is writing this, was carried away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Many things happen on mountains from beginning to end. Mountains play a significant role in God's word. And so we're going to take time throughout a couple of months, to take a look at how these mountains can help build our faith. I have to kind of apologize to Matt and to whoever's picking out songs in February, because when I picked this about, the mountains in Matthew, there's not a lot of mountain songs. And I think he did a great job, though, of picking songs that display the majesty and the glory of God, because that's exactly what we're going to be talking about. The gospel writer Matthew seems especially fond of mountains, and so we are going to be using Matthew's writings as we take a look at the mountains in Matthew. 2026, and I know Bob talked about how everybody seems to make all kinds of resolutions, and I probably could have made all of those announcements, especially the ones, dealing with your mental health and relieving stress and all kinds of things like that. But I've decided that I'm going to use this year to focus not so much on what, but on why. And the reason for that is because I was confronted with this concept in an article that I read, where a man was talking about how much time he spent learning about the Bible, learning about God's Word, memorizing vast passages of Scripture, hiding that Word in your heart, etc., etc. He had memorized entire books of the Bible that he could quote at the drop of a hat. He knew the apostles' names, he knew the Ten Commandments, he just knew fact after fact after fact after fact. But he didn't know why. He had never thought about the why. Why are these things important? And when I take a look at the mountains in the book of Matthew and I see that there are some incredible things, not only does God reveal his presence, not only is where Jesus was tempted on a mountain and where he handled that temptation, not only are there events on the mountains where Jesus taught, where his glory was revealed, like during the Mount of Transfiguration, but I want us to take a look not only at what happened on the mountains, but why. Why is that important to us? Why should we even care? What difference does it make in our life today? And so as we are looking at the what of Scripture, I'm also going to try to help us to dig a little deeper and answer, maybe begin the answer to that why question. So I want to encourage you to come with me on this journey. This sermon is more of an introduction. It is not necessarily a call to action or a call to acceptance of Jesus as the Savior and the Messiah, but that invitation is always open. More than that, what I want you to do is I want you to start to understand that the physical presence of God is everywhere. Now, yes, he is on those mountaintop experiences. He's also there in the valleys. We're not necessarily going to be dealing with that throughout this, but I don't want you to think that God is only about mountaintop experiences. He walks with you through the tough times. Like it says in the 23rd Psalm, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." The point is, there are valleys in this life, and sometimes they overwhelm us. But we're going to be spending a little bit of time exalting the holiness of God on the mountaintops. And so I'd love for you to just kind of take a look. Maybe you'll even, throughout the next several weeks, read through the entire book of Matthew. And if you can't do that, get your app out on your phone, your Bible app, and just look up the word mountain or mound or mount. See how many times it appears in the book of Matthew, and just look those verses up. There are a lot of things that happen on the mountain. So walk with me, journey with me, from mountaintop to mountaintop as we go through this sermon series together.